Welcome to Charge Forward Coaching, the podcast for committed athletes who want to achieve more on and off the field. Hosted by James Blasco, certified mental toughness and resilience coach. You'll gain insights and inspiration from elite athletes, coaches, and others who know what it takes to excel. Are you ready to take your game to the next level? Then tune in, get inspired, and let's charge forward. Now here's your host, James Blasco.
Hi, and welcome to the Charge Forward Coaching Podcast. I'm James Blasco. We have a great show for you today. We have Brianne Murphy from Murphy's Golf and Fitness here in Daytona Beach, Florida. She's also the head coach of golf at DME Academy here in Daytona as well, and the assistant coach of Bethune-Cookman Golf. And she has a tremendous business working with youth and young athletes in golf and those aspiring to be great golfers. So, Brianne, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it.
Why don't we get started? And you just give us some background and your journey, how you got to this level of coaching, a little bit about your own career.
Well, first of all, it's surprising to me where I am now. And when I was growing up, I had no idea that I'd be doing this for a living. So the journey was definitely a little bit different in the manner that most people in golf, they start out with juniors. I'm always asked, how long have you been playing? Well, I took up golf when I was 15. There was an open season, and I vividly remember my grandmother one summer telling my grandfather to take me out to go play golf. When I would drive, walk by the TV, I always change the channel because I didn't like golf that much. It was whatever. So fast forward, I learned how to play golf, and I became the first girl on my golf team in a really small town in upstate New York. And just fell in love with it from that point, and kind of thought, well, let me go to school and maybe I'll be good to play on the golf team, for college. And again, my route was a little bit different. Went to your private school, and my golf game was okay. And then I thought, let me try playing this professionally. How hard could it be? And then I learned that it is really hard. And played the mini tours a little bit, played here and there. Didn't have a whole lot of coaching. I just sort of did it on my own. And I was funny, I saw someone today, and I had this coach that would give me lessons, and I couldn't afford to pay her. I barely could afford to play in some of these events, coming out of college, college folk. And she said, I'll never forget, she told me, she's like, if you come back and you can hit all 9 ball flights, I'll give you your next lesson. And I'm like, okay. So anyone in golf knows that it's really kind of difficult. So it took me 2 or 3 months to do it. And long story short, definitely was not cut out for playing professional golf. So thankfully an injury came along and got me into coaching. And then I just worked my way through. My first job was in Cape Cod. So I learned from my mentor, I guess, someone who's now in the Hall of Fame. And she kind of showed me what teaching was. And then I got into the LPGA as a teacher and went through their program of education. And fast forward to here, I think it's 24 years, I've been in the business. And it's been a journey along the way. It's been fun. So I'm very blessed. I've had some good people in my life and bring me all the way here. But coaching and teaching definitely was more my forte and my love than playing the game professionally. That is not easy.
Yeah, I could imagine. That's a great journey. And oh, by the way, I didn't know there were 9 different flights of a golf ball. I just thought there was one. I hit the same one every single time. So maybe I'll learn 1 or 2 others. That'd be awesome. When it comes to coaching, I know you work with a lot of young athletes. What is it about coaching that inspires you, that you really take pride in and enjoy doing each and every day?
I think it's the look on people's face when they finally have that moment where they come into the lesson tee, whether it's a junior, whether it's an adult, and they say, I just want to embarrass myself. I want to learn to play the game. And they have these expectations for themselves, and they, a lot of them come with a negative, like, I'm going to do this really well, but I'm going to give it a shot. And when they have that shot, where they have that moment where they make great contact, or they, you know, hit their first par or whatever, in that moment, when they look at you with that smile, and it's like, okay, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's an awesome feeling.
Yeah, I could imagine. And is there anything that kind of transpired in your own personal career that you can easily kind of bring over to these young athletes and help them from those experiences?
I think one, knowing that this was not the path in a million years I thought I'd be taking, to kind of say, okay, you're outside of you're always trying to push yourself a little bit. So as far as like how I bring it into my students is just try it once, just try it again, keep trying and, you know, applying. And you almost surprise yourself when you come out of your comfort zone. So I think that would be where I would say, you know, a lot of my students is just give me 5 minutes, give me 15 shots. And if it doesn't work, then let's go on to something else.
When it comes to just what you were speaking to, you know, these kids, these athletes show up and they're not sure about what their experience is going to be, if they're going to be good, if they're going to like it and things. Do you find that it's really the mental side they have to break through first before the physical side? Like, do you feel more comfortable knowing you could get the physical side going, but it's the mental side that they have to believe in themselves?
100%. You know, I always say, if I had known psychology would be as, you know, heavily weighted in this golf, in this, you know, sport, I would have taken more psychology classes, because it is by far, you can psych yourself out before you even get to the lesson tee, before you get to that tee shot, before you get to your second shot. And absolutely, I think my younger players don't have the consequences any yet. Whereas adults, we think about the four things that why we can't do it first. For the kids, I think, you know, it's a little bit easier of a situation. We can make people hit the golf ball, that given that ability, but getting out of their own head, that's the difficult part for sure.
Yeah, it's funny you said, I was reading a book earlier, and it was talking about how young kids, when they're like in a grocery store, little kids that are with their mom and they're begging to have cookies, and mom's like, no, but they keep asking, I would like the cookie, and they don't know no, just
right,
that's what they want. They're not afraid to do that. And then as we get older, somehow we lose them. So that plays a lot into, you know, that mental toughness that is required to not just be the best, but really improve in any situation. What elements of mental toughness do you try to incorporate into your coaching, and how do you?
For my kids, for my junior players, I guess it's just more of like, it just happens. Like, I just say, okay, we're going to do this, and I want you to give one positive, try this 5 times and get this one positive feedback from me. Okay, I hit it on the score of the club face, or I hit it, you know, I was in balance or something like that. And so that approach with them, and then I also will, if we're in a group, I'll say, if you say one negative thing about yourself or the shot, then you had to do 5 push-ups or something like that. Or, you know, it's something like that. Not a consequence necessarily, but just to kind of show them that it is all about how you approach the shot. It is all about how you approach that moment, and it's not typically comfortable. And especially with kids now, you have peer pressure and things like that. So I think that plays a lot into that. My adults, I will always say, I want, you know, you hit 5 shots. I want 3 positive things that happened from that. And then things that normally they wouldn't try, I'd say, let's just humor me for a few minutes and just give this a shot, you know. And then they kind of, again, it's a little kind of pulling everyone out of their comfort zone is the hardest part.
Yeah, I would you know, I've been around a lot of athletes, amateurs, professionals, different sports. I don't think there's another sport that draws out the mental frustrations, anger, head games, all those things like the game of golf. I mean, it is, you have to be under control and thinking process the entire time. How difficult is it, especially with younger folks, to have them in a spot where they're thinking about process instead of result?
That's a $1 million question. it's hard because I think, and I've said this for a long time, I think we're result-oriented people. Like, we see a result, okay, that works. And then we try to figure out, how do we do it again? With my kids, it's hard for, like, you know, today, for example, I had, you know, my three boys from DME Academy, and getting them to approach the shot the same way every time it's difficult for them. They just know they get up, they feel it, and they do it, and life is good. So I really have to pull them back and kind of give almost reward to say, okay, I'm going to give you, you know, a dozen golf balls. If I can get you for this entire hole to go through your pre-shot routine or practice session to go through that practice routine, you know, methodically, and that's just hard. It's just, you got to have some form of reward. That's all I can think of with them. That is difficult. It's super challenging for them to rein in and kind of be methodical with it. I think it comes with age. You know, you get the younger ones that are just like, oh, all over the place, and they're just happy that they're right there, and they're having fun. But as they get older, I think, you know, it becomes a little bit easier. But definitely the age group of, you know, from, I'd say, you know, 7 to 14, it's a struggle.
Yeah, I bet.
Once they see the results of it, it becomes a little bit easier.
Yeah, once I see that, you know, if I do the right things, if I focus a little bit, you know, I'll get better. So from a coaching perspective, you kind of answered it, but what's the challenge for you? Like, how do you, you know, work on your mindset, knowing, you know, that 7 to 14-year-olds are this way and the other kids are this way, and I'm trying to get both to do the same?
You just have to cater to the personality a lot of times. And just know that even if I can give a little bit each time, you know, if it's maybe it's one more shot, or in all honesty too, I'll take them out and play more because I can get them to focus a bit more on the golf course, because they only have, and I only let them play one ball. You know, they always say, coach, can I throw the ball down? Nope. I'm going to play that one ball, because that will force them to focus more on that routine or on that situation or on that shot. So that's where I found, I think, getting them to play more often and not having the classic mulligan, or as I learned, breakfast ball as a redo. Ball. Yeah.
You would never be able to play on the weekend with my wife and me and our friends, because we have wall balls, we have mulligans, we have amazing shears that we end up with. So, well, speaking of going out with just one ball and that's it, you got to play the game of golf the way it's supposed to be played. How do you help them through the difficult time when they're really struggling? It's going to happen to everybody.
Wow.
They have a tough hole or a tough round. And now all of a sudden it's more than just, you know, working on the process. It's getting that belief back into them in the moment, really, so they can continue. How do you help them do that?
It's a tough one because, you know, we all have slumps, we all have holes that are bad and everything else. And so the recovery, I have a couple athletes that I'm doing with that right now. One of them is a girl, and she's seen lower scores, and then all of a sudden something happens and that one shot, and then she takes her two holes to recover. So she goes from a below par average to then, you know, a couple other ones that go a little bit. She has like two or three holes that will just compound the problem. And I think one of them will, because everyone's different. So I'll take one that I'll have as we're walking, she's going to breathe and she's going to kind of sort of forget. I have her focus on breathing and then I have her say, okay, let's, what do we do with the next shot? Forget what happened. There's no rearview mirror in golf. What's the next shot going to do? What do you want? And I have, and then I'll have others that I'll make them visualize a bit more. Okay, what do you, how do you want the shape, the shot, the shape, or, you know, where do you want the ball to land? So I take them as best I can to focus on what the next one is going to be versus what happened before and try to take them out of the mechanics. Because that's usually people's first thing is what went wrong with my swing and they try to fix it right then and there. So that's kind of where it's not easy. It doesn't happen, you know, right away. But they are able to kind of refocus sooner and sooner on the next shot and the next hole versus the score overall and then that mechanic that may have broken down.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what you're coaching, how you're helping these young athletes is tremendous. I think it's extremely important. I know, you know, growing up, we didn't really have that type of coaching available to us regardless of what sport we were playing. And I know how important it is. These kids are really going to benefit from that. So let's say prior to the round or even the practice that they're going out to perform in, have you worked with them in any way as far as just preparation leading up to practice or up to the tournament or up to the round, whatever it is they're competing in?
Yeah, a couple different things. I work also with like a gym fitness stretching routine. So we'll start from that point. And then we go up and if one of the players is playing in, let's say, a two-day event, I'll usually have them the day prior go through, they look up, they've never played the golf course before. I'll have them go through on the internet of, you know, the hole, and we'll go shot by shot, hole by hole, and say, okay, what club are you going to use here? And then they're not going out and playing. They're just going through and mentally kind of preparing for what club they're going to hit from each spot on that hole for the entire round. So you've mentally played the game. And then when you get through there, let's say that things obviously aren't going to go exactly the way you planned it. But then look at it and say, okay, now if the, we're going to talk about wind, we're going to talk about whatever specifics. But, you know, I say, okay, let's, what's your safe shot? What's your layup shot? You got to have that in that category as well so that there's less likely of a, the emotional breakdown when things don't quite go as planned. So, and then as far as before we go out, on the range, I'll do my best to get them to play, the holes as in like for the driving range, for example, you got, you know, 12 different flags. Okay, well, let's play. This is a par three, 130 yards. What club are you going to use? And then they pick that target and they move to the next target using their driver and then a different shot. So they're playing the practice, the range that they would play the golf course, kind of get them in that mindset.
So in a sport that really is about the individual, most of them, how do you work on, the, you know, the folks you're working with every day to come together to support one another? Does that happen? Are they there, you know, working as a team and helping each other move forward?
Yes. So for my DME players, for example, I have named one of my kids the captain, and just trying to bring some, you know, cohesiveness, some camaraderie together. And he's like, well, what is it to be, what I have to do? And I'm like, well, it's part of your job as the, you know, captain to kind of help the other two. If they're having a bad round or they're having a bad hole or a bad shot, like, say, hey, it's okay, just encourage, it's all. He's like, well, do I have to teach him? And I said, no, you just, you know, just have to kind of rein them in a little bit. So, yeah, I think having that, and I think people don't consider sometimes, like you say, like, this golf is just as much of a team as any other team sport. I played all kinds of different sports growing up, and golf was my only solo one. But, you know, if you're if you're finishing your round, do you want to watch all your teammates come in on that 18th hole or that, you know, 9th hole, however many holes you're playing, and they know they have the support. And if they have a bad round, to know that, you know, it's okay, we'll get them next time, or hey, let me go out and practice, let's work on this, or let's work on that. And yeah, it's just as much of a team sport, I think, is as any other one, for sure.
So I know you're on social media. You always have a lot of videos, things like that. Does that really resonate with the young athletes? Do they get more engaged with you and your coaching style because of that?
A little bit more. They find me on, you know, we talked about, you know, I tell them all the time, I'm on Instagram, and now I start getting better on TikTok because I'm not, I don't post a whole lot there, but I'm getting better. But yeah, they're always checking out different, you know, tour players. And I had one a couple months ago. He's like, Coach, I have a new hack I found on TikTok. So yeah, and he's always got this little thing he's doing. It's never necessarily the most traditional or athletic move, but he finds all this stuff on TikTok and everything else. So I think, yeah, social media is for sure a huge, I think it's good and bad for our industry. I mean, it's a necessary evil, but I think it gives them, you know, like, to see other people their age and how much information is out there about golf. I think that's a huge positive.
I think so too. Really helps grow the game and make it fun and interesting for everybody. So has there been any particular moments, there's probably a lot in your career, that stand out where you go, wow, you know, I saw this person start here and they ended here, and, you know, I'm so happy to be a part of that process and journey with those individuals.
There's a couple. Yeah, there's quite a few. But I've lived over on the east coast of Florida for about 6 years, I guess now. And I was over in CP in Tampa area for about 17, 18 years. And several of the families that I worked with, their young players, we still keep in touch. And I just got a text probably about, I guess just before the summer, saying there's two twin girls, and I'd worked with them since they were like, you know, 8 years old. So they were just accepted. One was going to, was accepted to a college in the professional golf management program. And the other one was going to play on the golf team for another local college. And so it brought tears in my eyes because I'm like, wow, these girls, I mean, I have pictures of them with, you know, beanies on and clubs that were, you know, junior, like little type kind of clubs. And so that was just super cool. And they always say, you know, the dad texts me, he's like, hey, coach, just want to let you know, give you an update on the girls. And then just a couple, last week, I got a message from another one of my players. She was a little softball player, and she took up golf with me, and she just got a job with Golf Tech. And she's like, I just want to let you know, this is what I'm doing. And so, yeah, I mean, it's super cool to know that, you know, I'm working with some of these kids from the young age, and we may not have gotten any of them on a tour, but they're doing what they love and they're exploring new things. And to be to help have been a part of that journey with them is amazing.
Yeah, that's great. And speaking of, you know, women's sports, I mean, it's really been an explosion over the last several years. And in fact, I think this past weekend or so, on the tour, the largest purse was won. I think it was like $4 million, which is awesome, right? So what do you think about that? What do you think? And you watch women's basketball and Caitlin Clark and all this stuff. It's really changed. I mean, it's like totally changed. Arenas are being sold out. People are all over, you know, golf and following the tour. What are your feelings on that?
It's nice to see the explosion of women's golf. And I was listening to, I think it was Squawk Box, something like that, this morning, and they had someone on, you know, he owns or part owner of the Minnesota Vikings, and he owns now the women's Pride Soccer in Orlando. And you know, he was talking about how the same thing, the explosion of women's sports and soccer, they just won their national championship and everything else. I think it's nice to hear people on, you know, on high levels talk about women's sports and how it's not just, you know, you've got two things to choose from, you know, tennis and golf. Now there's so much more. There's soccer and WNBA, and you're seeing it more and more out there, and people are watching the views or the rankings are going higher and everything else. So I think it's, I mean, if I could go back, I'd love to go back 20 years and play more sports and see that, you know, you see us on TV versus, you know, mostly the guys. So no, I'm super excited to be, you know, an athlete and a female, and to know that, you know, we're making our way higher and higher as the years go on.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And a lot more money being thrown.
A lot more money, yeah. Yeah.
Female athletes. This is always a good thing. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, as we wrap up here, well, thank you for being on the show. Any words of advice for young athletes, whether they're golfers or baseball players or whatever, that you would give them when it comes to, you know, just how they need to focus, the mental toughness and the importance of understanding what that is and how to utilize it, and just athletics as a career in general?
There's a lot. I think I would, first and foremost, I'd find, and as a young athlete, I'd play as many sports as you possibly can. Play them all. Dabble in basketball and tennis and soccer and everything, because that makes that grows that development in an athlete. Because you take things from different sports, you know, hand-eye coordination and agility and all that kind of stuff you take from different sports and you put it together, and then when you find the sport that you like, you know, still stay athletic and do the things, but then find a coach, find someone that you really trust, and that you believe in, and that will, you know, kind of, you know, guide you along the way, and be prepared to fail. It's okay, and it's a great thing to not be perfect. I think that's what we have with a lot of young athletes and people in general, that we fear failure. But in the only way to learn and only way to get better is to fail. So you're going to have bad days at golf. You're going to have bad decisions and things like that. And always try to come away with, what did you learn from that? What can I focus on? What was bad about that round? Or what can I work on to make that a little bit better the next time I go play? So I think that being the biggest is, you know, just don't be afraid to have a bad day.
Those are great words of advice. Great words of advice, and are very, very true, whether they're in sports or business or anything you want to accomplish in life. So, well, thank you, Brand, for being on the show. That was tremendous insight and education, and we'd love to have you back on down the road. I know you have a lot of things going on, but thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I'd be happy to come back at any time.
We will definitely have you on. And for the rest of you, well, tune in. We have some more awesome guests that will be on the show over the next few weeks and months coming up. So just tune in. Make sure you subscribe and like and share and all that good stuff. And be sure to keep charging forward.